just a professional who pulled it through, really. I mean, he doesn't have that kind of talent. But he was certainly
he already had the talent when he came back.
Yeah.
Well, I was in the Well, Henry called me last night and wished me a happy new year, and he was feeling better. That was a tough day for us to have to exercise all that therapy, but absolutely important, an essential job. We've got to, and with Hay getting back, I don't know, I think I'll have to tell out there a little blow to blow. Did you ever talk to Hay about it? He knows it pretty well. Well, you might just fill him in very briefly that there is a little, you know what I mean? Just for the sake of not bringing him to the building. You know, save him, protect him. Hay, unfortunately, will be leaving. Schultz, bless him, talked to Dale, and Stein, and Rex, talked to economic people.
Absolutely.
The post, I would cut totally.
Totally.
I would totally that. I think that's being enforced somehow.
Yeah, I was surprised to see him instead of Broder piece, but it was it's a good interview. Two days running in the post, front page. I don't know why. I haven't checked why. I'm sure he got approved. Because Bill wouldn't.
Yes, I totally disapprove of it. Broder is with the post. It's not people like it's like Carol Kilpatrick. If we're going to do somebody, then the post is going to. I would have selected him other than Broder. Carol basically is Franklin. He's voted for because he's Franklin.
Mm.
Broder basically is fucking to go upstairs.
Yeah, and sticks it into us every time he can.
Yeah.
Naming Wallace as the man of the year as he did this weekend. I thought that was just unconscionable.
Did he do that again?
Broder's coming on Saturday and naming Wallace as man of the year. He couldn't bring himself to name you man of the year. But petty, but just.
Well, I want Timmons taking the task for this.
I was not that
violated an order. Violated an order. And I want to find out. I want you to find out today. I really mean that. It's an unbelievable affront to me, personal affront. I will not. I told them not to talk to the post. The post is cut off. In fact, we can't have it cut off. One way, Broder, they say, but he's syndicated. Screw him.
They're all syndicated.
No, but Broder works for the post, isn't it? Go ahead this way. It isn't like Alsop. Joe Alsop is basically not the Post's employee. Broder is the Washington Post employee. Right?
Yes, sir.
Would you look at it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll take care of it. I would assume he, knowing Bill Timmons and how careful he is, he got somebody to approve it. I mean, someone must have approved it. He wouldn't have done it. But I'll find out.
Thanks, Warren. Timmons feel bad about it. You know, you should have to say some kind of drop here. Say points raises my mind.
It's good. Bill made very good points. I mean, a good story that shouldn't be in the place.
It should be in the Star. Give it to the Star, the Sun Times in Chicago. We have to go a little bit on the liberal side.
Correct.
The Detroit News. We've got a lot of them out. We have even the Los Angeles Times. Even though it'll come back to the book. Yeah. Now, don't tell me the Kroger's at the time. The hell with that. So he is carried at the Times, but he is the Washington Post man. Pick that. The Times, Los Angeles Times, is not good. But it's better than the Post, right? At least it endorsed us. See my point?
Oh, absolutely. And the LA Times occasionally you can find a good man.
Told or somebody.
Told is good.
But we got to find the list there. And then then I was going to ask you to. I just wrote a memorandum to Holland on this to be sure that he got this. When we make up delegations to send to funerals and inaugurations and so forth, we don't have a broad enough list. As I pointed out to him, the only names that I got that were Miss Swan Pearson in Canada, that I got came from you. You had a couple of labor figures on there, which I. And Henry, of course, you might imagine, recommended Libby Birch and people, you know, which doesn't do us any good. You know? The state comes up with usually that. Now, this is really pure gold for us.
Oh.
This is pure gold. There should always be a labor. There should be a. I wrote a name on. I put Jimmy Roosevelt's name on, for example.
Yeah.
But the point is, if this can't be the Democrats, we should have, as I told all of them, I've got to have a list of the major financial contributors. We know who they are, but we should have a list of 100 of available opponents' notice for inaugurations and so on and so on. It can't be just our, it just can't be your list, you see, but whatever stands and sent in, you know, scores of names. There's a list of 100 that contribute over 100,000.
Yes.
Now, those people should be on such a list if they want to go. There's a list of, then there's a list perhaps of another 100 who were the major political people that have gone. There may be a list of 50 editors, publishers, really tough publishers, like Paul Miller and others. In other words, people that we can recognize. There may be people, you see what I'm getting at? This has not been done on a scientific basis.
We did during the first term. That was done in George W. 7 miles, but Skip follows us. We went through the 180
yeah.
contributors. Everyone had a White House social invitation, a personal letter from you, and one of them.
What I heard frankly, all that we're going to do, they're trying to get off the White House social invitations and all that. What I'm referring to is a list right at the top. When you've got to have three names to go to the Emperor of Ethiopia's 100th birthday, right? Now, this is where you really got to go. And you must have a very specific, a new list. So what I mean is update.
Comes in, whoever brings them in, just that's like brings out somebody from the Washington. got to be cold-blooded about it, because, God, they never gave us a quarter when we were...
Did you get the White House now when you were out?
No, sir.
And just point out, make a little note, that you weren't the White House master, you were Washington lawyer, or a chopper, wasn't it? And you realize, in 8 years, I was never in the White House for a social function. Never. In 8 years, I was a former vice president. Never. The one time.
Well, they played the game very hard.
Yes, President. We're going to play it that way now too.
Well, it's... I never was in the White House. I never expected it. And then when I see us bringing Democrats in,
let me say, the point is, it's hard to find Democrats yet, so only if there are Democrats.
I mean,
they are never going to have one of their Democrats in this place again. I mean, that's anybody that wouldn't stand up against the government is out.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yes, sir. That's where
you're going to be. I want you to keep. Close friends with Murray, too. Murray will, you work well with him, don't you?
But, sir,
you've got it. Murray is going to be around. He's interested in politics. He's particularly interested in congressional things and the rest. Keep in touch with him, but have in mind, what he can do and what he can't do. But he's a very good operator, but he has some problems.
I saw Murray on Friday, and he asked if I would be interested in his coming in as out counsel to my firm. I'm afraid I can't do it because Murray's got Murray's got a couple of problems. Also, I think it would make my firm a little too
political.
Yeah.
No. I have great respect for Murray, but Murray's making lots of money.
Oh, he's doing
well. You can pass stuff back and forth. You have conflicts of interest.
So that's what I told him I would do.
Murray said he's made a couple $100,000 last year. He's doing fine. He doesn't need the money. But he shouldn't be in your firm. Don't put it down. I think you're doing a very good idea. I like the idea you're bringing a couple of Jews. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I'll be able to live with them.
I don't know. It's awful. Awful. Awful.
Okay.
I don't think you need to put a black in there.
Oh, no.
Don't go that far.
I wouldn't touch it up, but the Jews are simply because they've been brilliant antitrust lawyers. One of them went through high school with Len Garman, and Len said he's a genius. He's a Brooklyn Law School boy. The other one worked his way up in New York Columbia Law School. But they're both, they practiced antitrust law in the courts for 20 years. And it's perfect for me, because the thing that I never had when I practiced before was enough trial clout. And if you really get to that point and need it, plus, it's a good balance for me, and I've made a deal with them that they can't take any case without my approval of any kind, so that I...
There's a few money for this.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. I think you're just the main thing to pick the right kind of business.
Well, I've been fighting people. It's been a...
It's going to be a great pleasure, too, because I know some people who want to fight.
I've been sort of shunning people aside who wanted to come to talk to me, because I don't want to...
Don't be too...
Yeah, I don't want to sign them up until I'm out of here.
And also, you don't want to be, basically, you should be the Clifford type. You should be the Clifford thing, but you should not be, basically, a political law firm.
Right.
That's why I meant that matter of the Republican Committee, it's much better for you to handle the case as a lawyer than to be counsel for the Republican Committee. And every time you're in the White House, I first thought it was better to do it. You don't, let me put it this way, you don't need the Republican Committee.
Right.
You see, they need you. So therefore, to hell with it. I think the point is, you've got your tie into the White House. And now I was thinking of what we could set up in a way, and another thing I want you to talk to is sort of the kitchen cabinet. Naturally, we'll have you. I think we ought to have a greater. He's here. You have respect for him.
Very much so.
Harlow.
Yep.
Who else?
I got Scammer.
He'll do it.
He's with us.
Well, I mean, just a group of people that consider around. We mix it up and horse around. And from the outside, I'm trying to think of buildings from the establishment.
Conley, if he would mix in.
Conley, oh yes, just whenever he's there. Well, I wish he'd make up his mind. He just loves money too much. That's how brave would be his Achilles heel.
It is.
Well, all in all, the new year starts, though. I'm just
I think on this one, Mr. President, I watched the toll that it took on you, and it was tough.
Oh, fine.
No, I can tell. I can tell looking at your face when the strain was really great as it was. But in the end, if Henry works out the settlement, it will clearly be your settlement, and it was not headed that way. It was just as well that we've had this little bit of split, and there's been a difference between the two, and there was too much. Well, Henry was getting too much public.
Yeah, but another thing too that's happening, that happens, looking at it from another standpoint, if we end the war on any basis now, we are that is halfway reasonable. Our credibility in the world is enormous increased, but it's
yes.
Squeal all they want, but go out there with a decent squeal, that just gives you a hell of a lot more respect among others.
That's right.
So we've done that. We haven't backed into it. We haven't been political about it.
No.
They realize they're dealing with a tough man, a strong man.
Well, then you sent him back if I was the wrong way.
And here in this country, it allowed the McGovernites, it forced them, instead of sort of sucking back, to get out on the limb again. And I did it so wrong.
Well, I did it.
I think we've done this all wrong.
I think there are some other advantages. One, if the South Vietnamese squawk, they'll have less credibility now.
Right.
Because everybody knows we did everything humanly possible and really put the North Vietnamese to the wall. And secondly, I think you've taken a hell of a toll on the North Vietnamese. You know, NBC, it was very interesting. I watched the network news last night, and it's obvious what they had intended to do to us this weekend was just murder. And they had about 7 or 8 minutes of Hanoi prisoner film footage taken by a Japanese film company and distributed by the North Vietnamese. I mean, propaganda film.
Sure.
But Jesus, it just leveled Hanoi. I mean, that was pretty devastating stuff. They were showing civilian coffins. No, sir.
You know?
No, not now that it's over. I think, yes.
What about it?
Yeah, I think they were just building up to it. I think the bastards were building up a nice crescendo to get to the return of the Congress, and they would have.
Is it a picture taken of this, please?
Oh, no, I think it was a beautifully orchestrated build-up. I mean, that New York Times piece yesterday, both NBC and CBS, they were funny.
No, that thing they were terribly, frankly, I think they were frustrated, upset.
We are trying what happened. You know, I think you pulled the rug out. Totally. I think when they I don't think they expected it. I
oh,
really was taken by surprise.
I don't think so. They expected a pause, but they didn't expect it. They just expected us to stop. They didn't expect an North Vietnamese, frankly, capitulate, which is what they did.
No, because I think the smart doves were figuring that the North Vietnamese would wait and see what the Congress did in the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, how much domestic pressure could be built. And actually, I think it is a testimony to the effectiveness of the bombing that, for all of its faults, they apparently didn't want to stretch this out another couple of weeks. It seems to me, at least, it would have been to their advantage if they were taking that much punishment.
I think they were taking the punishment.
I think they had to have been really feeling it.
That's right.
God, it stands to reason, you know, that
we're very control.
Yeah. You can't go in with that much shit.
You know, too, there's a terrific effect. I saw very little service, was sort of peripheral, but, you know, you sit in a bunch when you hear a 155 go off, you know, right near neck of one, they were in shapes, you know, drop the stinking little bomb, three or four of it, it just scares the bejesus out of it.
Okay, that's your real bit.
You see what all this is.
Well, it's kept them on edge.
The pens and the government for this group, but I give
figuring, well, we'll lay low for a year, then we'll start building the drumbeat behind someone to come in and take over the power in Washington. The president will be a lame duck. His administration will be on the decline. And, they're just waiting to regroup and come after us. Now's the time to really, really clamp down and just not let them get up off the ground. Anybody who fought you this year and wants to stay active in politics of Washington, the hell with it. Let them stay active outside of here. Not getting any help or encouragement from us. I feel very strongly about that.
That's typical of the press thing, like a Broder thing. Now, Broder probably did that under direct orders from Bradley. You know what I mean? Just pushing, see what the expression is. I think it's fine. Dick was going to come then, you know. I mean, it's doing so well now, Chuck. But you really started to think of it, take this whole North Vietnam thing to it. I have a feeling that one of the reasons people are not so darn disturbed about it. You see it today. When one thing adds to another, and people are a little worried about the economic thing, then they think everything is bad. But if things are going pretty well economically, then they say, well, gee, I don't like that, but I think, do you agree?
Yeah, but it isn't affecting that.
Is that a similar
announcement? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If the man has a job and he's just bought something new that he likes and he's got a good color television set and he isn't worried about his own economic future, and he reads about the bombing, he may say, well, I don't, you know, that's right, I don't like it, but what the hell, it doesn't affect me. And the kind of people you had out here marching with Dean Sayre kind of revealing. They were the typical upper middle class, the social conscience, they're well off, but by God, they're just kind of crusade for something to perpetrate their views. Now, the average guy in the street, if with the economy going well, he just isn't all that influenced by something happening thousands of miles away that none of his family are involved in. And doesn't like those Orientals. My God, we've been fighting Orientals since I was born. And can't, not quite, but 1941, 30 years we've been fighting Orientals. So it just isn't all that disturbing. Of course, the economic sense is fantastic. Reading The Economist, for the convention of economists today, where they booed poor old Hank Cowtaker, you remember our fellow
Pioneer
who, well, he got up and defended our Vietnam policy, God bless him.
For sending a note.
I made it.
That was a very courageous.
Was.
And a very courageous time. I did the defense from Justin Pioneer. They gave him a rough time.
Yeah, Friday, just before the announcement, he must have.
Oh.
But he got up and he defended it very hard. But that convention of economists predicted one of the biggest boom years ever. So it's not likely, Mr. President, if the momentum keeps up, it's not likely to turn down that soon.
You know, the problem, though, is when you think of a convention of economists, somebody ought to read them better than that. But basically, when you look at economists, they're sort of a beastmaker group, aren't they? It's like the stock market people. That's why they reflect the war in Vietnam as if the war in Vietnam. What the devil difference does it make? You know what? The economy, actually, if they really thought it was better off, the war going on.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's right.
But these people, basically, they're the upper middle class, social conscience type, and all the other things. What do you think?
Oh, that's true.
A little complex.
No, that's exactly right. I would guess we get about 15% of the... really 15% of the academic community, although this year I guess we did better than that. But
I don't believe it.
At Princeton,
I think they say, I'm not speaking about the students, but I think the professors, I mean, they get in their bomb shelters and they don't want to be on the losing side. That's all that's true.
Yeah.
But in their hearts, they're on the other side. That's the whole point.
They took a poll at Princeton, and my son was telling me 7% of the professors said they voted for you.
93 from the governor?
No, there were a few scattered write-ins. It was like 90%. And they answered the poll by putting down, you know, ridiculous names. But you'd have to figure it was 10 to 1, 11 to 1, 12 to 1. And that is just...
7% difference.
Yeah. Then they got mad because the fellow that used to work here in the White House, T. Harding Jones, young boy. Yeah, I think you met him. You were very impressed with him. He'd been an intern here.
Oh, yeah.
He went back and finished it, Princeton. He ran the poll. And then the faculty... He put it out. Ran
great.
It out.
Great.
And then the faculty went up in arms. They regarded that as an invasion of their privacy.
No,
it's they don't mind polling the public, and they don't mind stealing the Pentagon papers. But if you poll them as to how they voted, when they voted...
How do the kids, believe me, who go to such schools as Princeton and so forth, come out as well as they do?
Well,
how do we get a third of them in Ivy League schools? 50% across the country. Now, how the dickens do we do it?
Because the environment, the influence of the faculty isn't that great on them. I was up there, Mr. President, about a month ago to see my son.
These teachers pounded in day after day. They're teaching economics. They start talking about Vietnam. Let's talk about that today. Let's pray. Let's have a moment of silence. Let's have a moment of condemnation.
Yeah, except there were about 8 or 10 boys that came through my son's room the night I was there. One was the son of a retired Marine officer. A couple of them were on the crew with my son. They rode with him, and they're athletic, and they don't pay much attention all that much to the faculty. And they were all, they were all friends of my son. They all voted for you in the election. They were, they were open. You could tell looking at their face. They were open. They weren't the wild-eyed bunch that you see parading around.
You got to realize, too, that Princeton is infinitely better than Harvard.
Yeah. Well, the environment is better. The environment is a little more collegiate, but the a lot of them don't survive. A lot of them go nutty at college. Of course, when I was in college, I had a total left-wing head of the political science department. He was so far to the left, he drove me to the right. I kept getting more conservative. It was during this time. I can remember defending and arguing for you and for Joe McCarthy. The more liberal dad would get, the more conservative.
Well, anyway, the question is, still writing the same thing.
course.
Say, I shouldn't have kept on New Year's Eve. You know, this is the point here is the I know that the president and Sabre's finally, well, he's not fine. He's always been somewhat suspicious. But, I mean, but I we realize totally now. I said, Ron, there's no way. I said, you're going to realize that they're against. So they're going to be against you for hiding. Or they're going to be against you for not having a press conference. Or they're going to be against you because you had one to control the answers. Or you had one to give bad answers. But they're going to be against. There's nothing. You're right. You know, every press conference I had, these the lips tear to pieces.
For one reason or another.
Yeah, they say, well, he was nervous or he was abusive or he was expelled.
No, that's right. There's no way, Mr. President.
So my point is, you just have to realize you're up against that. And don't be worried about it. Just do, I think that one of the best things I've done is to stay ahead of circulation between, you know, election and inauguration.
To the one.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's been just right.
Why should I be out there?
No, I think
it's speeches and press.
Well, I think the public
has everybody has not gone to games and that sort of thing. Basically, I felt that there wasn't anything. I went off the Truman thing, which was fine. You know, one great fine reception. That was perfectly proper. But there's no reason to go out. This is not the time.
No, I think
the business of the country.
People have had enough politics and speech making and.
Also, I think another thing, too, we've done very well in terms of. I hope we've done well in terms of creating the impression we're firing a lot of people and putting in some new ones, but not firing them, but changing them.
No, I think the clean sweep has gotten across. I think that's been pretty well covered. That point's been reasonably well made.
It'll be more well made when they get down to the bowels.
Yeah.
Now I'm glad you're gonna work on Mallet to be sure that he's checking all those blood with you, right?
I'll see that they check. That's it. Yeah, well, that's so damn important. You know, we don't realize, but the head of the Census Bureau, you know, that's a tremendously important job. What he did, the studies he decides to perform,
sure,
they have a profound effect on this.
Is he one of ours?
Well, we're changing him because he wasn't any good. He was another one like Moore.
Right.
But that's one where I'm going to find a good man
for the Census.
He had it under Johnson.
I know. They want him again.
No. But he said he's one to tell me. He said, don't. He said, put a politician in there.
Oh, get a recommendation.
I asked him for one. He said, you don't have a guy on the Republican side who's got really the tickets to do it, unless you took up one of your scholars. He said, he thinks Kevin Fox is the only guy that understands it.
Kevin's
Oh, no. He's a critic.
He's a monk, though, I guess. He's a
loner. Oh, no, he couldn't have tell man. But that kind of guy, somebody who's good, has a good grasp of what the country's all about.
Could Teeter do it?
No.
Deliver one.
I wouldn't.
Wasn't I right on my guess on that?
No.
I never could convince all of them that that was his only blind spot, I'd say, Bob. Or eventually, I said, I think this fellow's on. I said, I can sense it every time I saw the poll. I said, he's on the left. He's on the left. I said, and I'd get in, the scamming and stuff. But don't you agree? He's not bad. He was for us.
Oh, yeah.
He's
a Grosse Pointe suburbanite to liberal Republican. He's a Republican by birth. He's just. It's the social thing to do. No, oh God, no. I talked to him. He
would have had us on the wrong side. He didn't want us to talk about busing. He didn't want us, of course, to talk about this rate prices like this about marijuana. Remember?
And this is
a capital punishment. That was in America. So California goes for it 2-1.
Yeah, that's right.
Remember?
The environment was his big kick.
It
was his stuff really that influenced Harper as much as anything. Although Tita came around on the Catholic issue, Harper never did.
Did Harper not come around? He must have had a prejudice there.
Yeah.
He's a prejudice. What is he, Unitarian?
No, he's a Christian Scientist.
Harper is? I would have guessed it. I would have guessed it.
Sure.
That's what it is. Because basically,
He'll go too far. He'll go much too far. You have to balance it.
But on the other hand, first off, there's the creature scientist.
Well, it was 2 weeks before the
election. Sure, he's a creature.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
2 weeks what?
2 weeks before the election. I ran that 9:15 meeting every day when we tell people what to go out and do and say. And it was at that meeting that I wanted to run an ad in the Detroit News on busing for the Monday before the election. And Harper said, no, no, busing is the ninth-ranked issue in Michigan. I was in the middle of a meeting with 15 people in the room. I damn near went across the desk and grabbed him by the neck. I'd never come so close. I was just...
So you ran into the ad?
Oh, sure. It was a beautiful...
Well, remember, Martin Hayden told us this is the only issue.
Hell of an ad, and Martin Hayden called me up to say that ad is worth thousands of us. And of course, what happened in Michigan is that the blacks didn't go out and vote. And all of the white suburban Polish and Italian areas came out and voted for us.
Yeah, and what looked about a 6-point lead went to about a 12-point lead.
Didn't that's it? Right.
I sincerely believe that's one place our last man ever says something
bad. Turned it around. Turn it around. It got our people back onto the issues that they should have been thinking about. In Michigan.
Including Griffin.
Including Griffin. Oh, Jesus. Oh, I think we saved. I think that you saved Bob Griffin.
You'll never.
You know, they talk about our not doing enough for these guys, but my God, you saved Bob Griffin. I'm absolutely positive of that. Virginia and North Carolina, you pulled the men strictly on your coattails. My God, they were two.
They were the ones who stuck to us all.
They stuck to us, but, well, I hold up that, what's his name, Helms, did after a bit, but he just pulled him in.
The trip in there, perhaps all that.
I'm sorry.
Scott, I didn't go in there, but we had Virginia so locked with her and the bear machine, and I got all those armories by the time we got through.
And they were,
I called on the phone, all that sort of thing.
Sure. And,
the ones we didn't save were really not salvageable. Margaret didn't want to be saved, so she went down.
Yeah.
Casey, you can think of the areas of that fall. Collins, and he'd be willing to be Secretary of Defense. Well, he's going to get a call. And of course, Miller. Yeah. He couldn't be saved. And Allen, which is his own worst enemy. Caleb Boggs, that's one I think. I don't know whether a presidential visit there would have been saved him, though. I don't know. Could have.
Might have been.
No president ever goes to Delaware.
No.
And the vice president always goes. I went there in 52. I went there in 56.
It would go
to Delaware, right?
No, no. Nobody
testified.
And nobody had any indication that he was in that much trouble. He, at the end, he did. But
there you are.
No, I don't think.
And we went to Kentucky, and he just didn't have the right candidates there.
Well, yeah, that was sad because he was a guy that could have been good.
But we did what we could there. Thank God we went there. If he lost and we hadn't gone, he would have been playing for it.
You were speaking about 74. I think we might do quite well in 74. We could. We could have a good year.
If we could start now on the candidates.
Yeah,
I was just wanted to sign it. But look, I just kept, like I said, I'd like to have in the House 50 candidates below the age of 40, and for the Senate, 20 candidates below the age of 50.
Be great.
Marvelous. No candidate, I will not support any candidate above the age, new candidate above the age of 50 for the Senate or 40 for the House. No new candidate. Now that's a tough rule, Chuck, but I will not do it. 40 for the House, you're past 40, believe me, in the House, it isn't worth it for a man to come.
Well, that's the point.
You realize that?
Yeah, no.
Sure, because it's going to take 20, it's going to take any man in the House 25 years to get to the leadership position. Right?
Sure.
So it'll be 60, or 20 years at least. So if he comes here and he's 50, and then 20 years later he's 70, it's too old.
Yeah, and that's what happens. That's what most of our people have been.
That's right, but an
awful bunch.
We've got a lot of old guys in the House down there now. Look at that. Some of the guys are just great friends. Well, Bob was a case in point. Of course, he was younger when he came in. When I see him, that call from New Jersey up there, Franklin Ford, and I'm thanking her, so it's just
Bill Widnow.
Widnow. at night, where they drink too much.